This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
He was just piling people down, and he was swerving left and right, and it was, my taxi driver stopped, and we just froze, and he just kept saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and I didn't know, at that point, we didn't know what to do. We just kind of froze for a moment in time. You want to think, you know, this must be just some guy, you know, some maintenance, some city worker or something like that, you know, driving too fast down a pedestrian. And you realize, no, this is not it at all. This is chaos. This is panic. It's surreal. I noticed his front right turn signal was already broken. And then you just add it all up in your head in a moment. And you realize that everything that you read about and watch on the news is something that's unfolding in front of you, and it's just to say the word terror doesn't really help you. You just can't even imagine that fear that just it comes over you. I didn't realize our hotel actually was right there, so he made a right and pulled into the hotel, and as he was turning right, I looked to my left. And I could see the van continuing down the boulevard, and I could see people just laying there, like motionless on the ground. I saw out of the corner of my eye, just next to us, literally the white van, kind of a cargo van without windows in the back. And it was just really at a very rapid pace coming down the boulevard in the center where the people were shopping. Buying knickknacks and things at these little stands, and he was just plowing people down.
Wow, and what a way to start the show. Only we're not talking about Charlottesville like we were a few days ago. No, no, no. We're talking about Barcelona. It's a place that I'm very familiar with as I went to school in Spain, oh gosh, for 7 months or so, a long time ago, but Barcelona was one of the places where I spent a lot of my time going to school in Madrid and then traveling to Barcelona. Know the area very well that was attacked, and it is incredibly gut-wrenching what has happened to those people there, and the death toll just continues to climb because you have people that are in the hospital who are fighting for their lives. And so here we go again. Evil strikes. Dozens were mowed down on Las Ramblas, which is what the area was. And again, as I said, what a way to kick off this week. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So what we do know is it's just, again, another attack of a vehicle and a crowd of people in, certainly in Europe. The manhunt immediately started for the driver of the van that mowed down the tourists. It's a very famous avenue, so all kinds of tourists go there. 13 plus people killed in the attack that was claimed by the Islamic State. They say, as I mentioned, the death toll could continue to climb. About 100 people have been injured. Police say they arrested two men, a Moroccan and a man from Spain's North African, a North African enclave. Neither one was the driver. Witnesses say the driver just took off on foot. Not clear how many attackers. They were talking about four people at one point in Barcelona. Witnesses, like you just heard there, describing what happened, say the white van zigzagged at a really high speed, and it was just, you know, clogged with tourists, rammed the people and cyclists, sent them hurling through the air, and there were bodies strewn all over the place. The Islamic State's news agency said the perpetrators of the Barcelona attack are soldiers of the Islamic State and carried out the operation in response to calls for targeting coalition states. So that's a reference, by the way, to a U.S. coalition against the Sunni militant group. And they're trying to confirm that. They're trying to confirm if that's true, if the involvement of the Islamist militants is confirmed. It would be another one of those attacks. And, you know, it's hard to prevent this. It's just like what happened in Nice, the people that that were mowed down in Nice, in Berlin, in London, in Stockholm. And, you know, you heard one of the tourists there describing it. There's another tourist who said he was with his wife and 9-year-old daughter. They saw the van pass them down the street, and they just jumped into a restaurant. And then panic broke out, and the crowd started running. People were shouting, and they heard a weird bang, and they thought it was a gunshot. And there was, you know, of course, lots of people crying and walking around in just complete shock, as you would expect. It's murder. It's insanity. It's flat out despicable. Police did say they shot a man on Thursday who had driven a car into a police checkpoint in Barcelona, but they didn't know that if he was connected to the van attack or not. Certainly, because of the age we live in, there was phone footage, mobile phone footage, that showed bodies that were all over Ramblas and motionless, paramedics bent over them, trying to treat them, comfort the people that were, you know, conscious. And there's just objects littered all over the place, flip-flops, bags. You know, you can imagine, again, a tourist area. And people were saying even they were looking out windows and you could see what was happening, and they were shocked. So you probably get, I'm thinking of the destination and being there myself, at least 11 million visitors or so go to that area. And this is just like we've said about the other attacks. You try to find out the people who did it, what their ties are, suspected jihadists, all of that. But it doesn't bring back, as I'm always quick to point out, it doesn't bring back the people who were innocents who were killed in this disgusting, heinous act. And we can say it over and over again. What do we have to do? I mean, we'll there be some places where they just have to barricade areas for fear that someone's going to try to drive into them? But we have crowds that gather in popular places all over the world. How many tourist destinations are there? Of course, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. People being mowed down. Outrageous. What I hope is they absolutely connect everyone and get everyone they can responsible, get them all. And hopefully get some of them alive. Although you cannot, I still come back to the fact, you cannot bring back the people who were killed. So evil smashes into the people in Barcelona, just like we've seen it happen in too many other areas. And it leaves nothing but a slew of questions that are hard to answer in trying to figure out ways to thwart this kind of enemy. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk about somebody who did go after evil and came out on the other side. We're also going to talk to somebody who lost a limb and survived it and created a new normal. John Register, my pal, he's coming up next here on ATN.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep all of your essentials protected. That means you can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit Solark.us to see EMP testing. That's Solark.us. Energy insurance for your family.
Talk to is a guy named John Register. If you haven't heard him, you need to hear him speak. In fact, go to johnregister.com and you can, you know, learn all the details about this tremendous person. He was an All-American track star. Then he was an amputee, and then he overcame that and became a Paralympic medalist. And just an amazing, energetic, engaging. I mean, there's so many adjectives I could use to sum up this guy, but so positive, and you can feel his warmth and positivity when you see him. John, it's good to catch up with you again.
You too, Kate. Great to be on your show again.
So let's talk about, you know, we kind of have, I think a lot of people, since we'll talk about speaking first, a lot of people have this mentality of victimization. Something happens to them, unforeseen. Your life is going on and it's great and you've got that plan and you had a plan and you were on the right track, so to speak. And then what happens when you get hit with this wicked curveball? I guess you have two choices, right? To either bathe in being a victim or come out of it and emerge maybe even greater. And do you feel like that's what happened to you?
Yeah, we do have a couple of choices because we all will go through some type of adversity in our lives. And how we handle it is either going to push us towards, you know, victory and success and our metal plating performances, or we're going to go down to a downward spiral. And I experienced both of those when I had my injury as the eighth fastest 400-meter hurdler in the country and, you know, some 25th in the world at that time. And, you know, in the speaker community, as we say, anytime you have something tragic happen to you, you have a story.
So you did have a story. So you found that story in all seriousness. That's crazy. I want to tell people here because they know how I feel about veterans and people who serve. And we have so many, have had so many soldiers on our show and so many others involved in the military. And you were part of Operation Desert Storm, right? And that kind of disrupted your training program.
That's correct. I joined the military for very personal and selfish reasons. I wanted to continue to run track and field. I was a four-time All-American at Arkansas, and the Army had a program. It's called the Army's World Class Athlete Program. There are actually 10 soldiers on the Rio team this year, as well as two Paralympic athletes on the Rio team that are still on active duty serving in this program. On my way to do my training, I got called up for Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and I was terrified, went to the war, came back without a scratch, and then began my preparation training for the 1992 Olympic Games.
Yeah, and that's when you had your accident. Tell everyone what happened.
Well, I was training for the games after 92. I did a 17th in the 40-meter hurdles and had a real good shot of making the team in 1996. I went across a hurdle in a training session and landed awkwardly, dislocating my left knee, severing the artery behind the kneecap, and then 5 days later, making the tough decision to actually amputate the leg because of poor circulation and the arterial blood flow, which, of course, moves blood away from the heart to the lower portions of our body. I had to make that tough call. And it wasn't easy. I mean, the pain actually spoke for me, but after the amputation, I looked down at my 29-year-old life, and all of a sudden, I was changed. I was different, and I had to begin the process of creating a new normal.
Yeah, and it didn't take long, actually, for you, John. I'm not surprised because you're such a driven person. But what was it, 18 months later, you're competing in the Paralympic Games in Atlanta?
Right, and 18 months prior, I didn't even know about the Paralympic Games. I didn't know there was this parallel games for athletes with physical disabilities and visual impairments. It was my wife who actually not really told me about the games, but actually put me in the mindset to get back to a healthy and active lifestyle. And as I was struggling, as many of us do with our challenges, she said, you know what, we're going to get through this together. It's just our new normal. And that, those were the words that pushed me to say, I can't wallow in what has happened, what's transpired, because that leg is past. And I didn't overcome the amputation because if I'd have overcome the amputation, I'd have my leg back, right? Mm-hmm. I overcame those things that were the stigma I had against myself, the stigma of other people saying what I could or could not do if they were in my situation. And, you know, why those stigmas were there in the first place. Those are things I had to overcome. And I also had a great avenue of sport and swimming to help me get back to a healthy and active lifestyle. And I just happened to fluke up, mess up, and actually make the Paralympic swim team.
Yeah, and you know, it's great, too. So you make that team, and then there you are at the Paralympics in Sydney, Australia. What was that like for you? That had to be awesome.
The Paralympic Games in Sydney was probably the best experience of my sporting life. Not just because of the competition and that we trained for, in my case, this was 20 years of culmination, an injury, an amputation, and then getting back and on the track. And now here I am, you know, 6.5 years post-injury, and I'm competing in a long jump for a medal. And I wound up winning silver by, you know, the gold medal is 4.5 inches farther than I jumped. And to have that experience with all my family there, with an amazing crowd of Australians that were supporting every athlete, this whole movement of just celebrating who we are as humans was—it's indescribable, that feeling. And it wasn't just for the athletes; it was also for those that were witnessing this. I call it the "what to wow," because when we watch Paralympic sports, some people think it's kind of confused with Special Olympics, and it's not. It's a difference. It's a total different governance structure. It's not participatory. Special Olympics says this is gold, silver, and bronze. People are going to fight and scratch and scrape and train as hard as they can to be the best in the world. And when you see that moving forward, this what to wow is, what is this all about? What are we watching here? And then you see a person with no legs run underneath 11 seconds for 100-meter dash, you say, wow, that was amazing. Or you see somebody swimming about a second slower than Michael Phelps, and they're missing a leg. These are amazing, incredible athletes, and they don't think of themselves as something special or superhuman. They're just doing what everyone else in society wants to do, and that's be treated with dignity and respect. The last growth is that we go from a what to wow, and then oh. And that's where I want to get to with Paralympic sport is, of course they should be doing this. It shouldn't be any different than us celebrating, you know, when LeBron won, you know, for the Cavs this year in basketball, or Steph Curry shooting lights out in threes. If you practice at excellence, you will have excellence. And that's in any walk of life. I don't care if you're CEO or if you're opening up doors as the frontline leader. If you practice it, you will become that which you want to be.
Wow, great words. Practice it, you'll become that which you want to be. And you said the Paralympics, because I've been watching them for a long time, are incredibly competitive. It's, like you said, not to be confused with Special Olympics for some reason. Initially, I think people just didn't realize what Paralympics was. But now I think there's no question about it. It has become bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you watch the Olympics, they're emphasizing it. They're talking about it, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, you can watch, in an American audience, if you're watching and you're paying attention to the commercials that are on right now, they're teasing up the 66 hours that NBC is going to be showing the games that start on September 7th in Rio de Janeiro. So you're going to, companies are starting to align with social causes around Paralympic athletes because they realize that these athletes are training at the same rate and sometimes even harder and have greater physical ability than their Olympic counterparts. So, for example, BMW is unveiling their wheelchair racing chair for our athletes who are going to be competing on the track. It's amazing. They have jumped the game in wheelchair racing design by 10 years, at least 10 years. It's amazing. They built out the two-man bobsled for our men's and women's bobsled team. So we're using technology to advance it forward.
Wow. Love it. All right, we'll be looking for that for sure, John, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. I'm going to tell everyone again, go to johnregister.com. Great speaker for people listening that have businesses. Everybody's clamoring to get him in their house. John, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you a bit later.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. people who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Do you trust our economy? How about our banking system? Our president has stated we are sitting on a bubble right now, and that when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is raising rates here and now. There has never been a better time to turn your IRA or 401k into physical gold or silver with GSI Exchange. Call 833-GSI-GOLD. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 833-GSI-GOLD. Ask about our Bank Failure Survival Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfer can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD. That's 833-474-4653. Or visit us on the web at gsi.gold.
We are the inscription visible on the hero's memorial. Locked in cerebral manacles, we rattle our brains. Unhinged intellect, how do you embalm a phantom?
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to this show somebody who fought so hard for human rights and saw so many atrocities. And I think you know his name. He's very, very well known for some of the wonderful things that he's done since that time. But he's the UN force commander for Rwanda. Romeo Dallaire joins us now. General, it is such a pleasure to have you on this show. And so many people have now talked about Rwanda and how come more wasn't done, and how come more people didn't pay attention, and what was the United States' role in what happened. And you wrote two best-selling books, Shake Hands with the Devil, and They Fought Like Soldiers, They Died Like Children. And, you know, you're working on a book about post-traumatic stress disorder. For you, when you stepped, if we take you back there, when we stepped back to Rwanda, did you realize what you were going to encounter with your peacekeeping forces?
That's an absolutely outstanding question to ask. You sort of say, if I did, what kind of a nutball would want to go into something so horrific as that? There was in the UN at the time, an explosion of peacekeeping missions. Remember, the Cold War ended not long before that, and we we had the Gulf War, yes, but everybody was expecting. In fact, George Bush Sr. said that we were entering a new world order. Remember, people were talking about peace dividend and we don't need militaries anymore and the whole world's going to be nice and all that kind of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, all these civil wars and imploding nations and failing states started to appear where they were trying to get rid of dictators and trying to bring democracy and all kinds of stuff like this and human rights and the like. And so at the UN headquarters, they went from, you know, four or five long-standing, reasonably cheesy Chapter 6 missions of observing conflicts that had been resolved for a long time but needed a referee to keep it going. We exploded into 15 to 16 missions in a matter of less than a year. And so Rwanda was a really small little project. They had been having problems in Cambodia. They had been problems in Japan by then, ex-Yugoslavia. And so they were hoping that this would be a success story so that they could re-encourage people to continue to support peacekeeping. And so I was to do it on the cheap. People thought we'd be able to pull it off and that people really wanted peace. And what really suckered us in was the fact that that over-optimistic demand of the UN to try to get something positive on the books completely, well, ignored, I would even go as far as to say, the fact that there was strong extremism on the side of one of the ethnic groups, the ones in power, that they were not, in the end, ever going to reconcile with these other ethnic groups, and they did not want to share power. And then the whole thing went to hell.
And, you know, and obviously you saw, as I mentioned before, there's no great way to describe it, just so many bodies, so much atrocity, so much murder, just a horrific scene. But one thing that isn't talked about very much, there was actually hundreds of thousands of people, am I right, that were saved?
Well, the way it worked out was is that in fact, it's working out still today when you see Iraq and Syria and so on. The civilian population are now both the targets and the prize in civil wars. And so each side will try to maneuver as much as it can of the population for its own power base and negotiating base for the future. And so the extremists were moved just under 4 million people. And told them of the other ethnic group, the Tutsis, as they were doing it. So they slaughtered 800,000 as they moved 4 million and left about another close to a million injured or sick because of HIV/AIDS and so on along the way. So that massive movement happened. Where we were able to intervene was the fact that they wanted them all outside of the country in the periphery, like in the Congo and Tanzania, so that they would negotiate their return. They wanted a scorched earth for the rebels and by actually moving the population completely. Well, we were able to prevent 1.6 million from actually leaving the country by proving that we could protect them. But the real in-your-face protection happened around the capital, where we were able, you know, on five sites, to protect 32,000 who were in immediate danger of being slaughtered. In fact, one contingent withdrew before it got orders to do so from us, but its country told them to pull out. And about 4,000 was slaughtered in a matter of hours.
Wow. So then you come back from what happens in Rwanda, and eventually the people are certainly seeking you out, wanting to know what happened. All of that is more is revealed. But you're dealing with the post-traumatic, you know, stress of it all. And now we talk about that term a lot more. But when you had the post-traumatic stress, it wasn't discussed as much. How difficult, obviously, was that for you to process all of what you'd seen?
Well, I had already, the war had ended on the 18th of July, and it was essentially the population was completely destabilized. I mean, there were bodies all over the place and so on, but the actual fighting had ended. So it was time for people to come back. And I, at that time, had completely burned myself out to the extent where I had asked to be relieved because I was becoming a liability to my mission. I just couldn't handle all these people coming back and complaining that the place was a mess. They were still finding bodies after we had ran out of food, water, medical supplies. We ran out of ammunition. So I sort of broke down and asked to be relieved, and then went back to Canada and was made deputy commander of the Canadian Army at a time of massive budget cuts. You guys were going through the same things in the States. General Sullivan was doing miracles there in the States with the U.S. Army. And at that time, the word was, you know, welcome back to the real world. There's lots of work to be done here. And with time and hard work, all this will disappear from your mind. That was the theory of the time, which in fact was exactly the contrary to trying to heal this wound, because post-traumatic stress disorder is what we call an operational stress injury. We even use it now with our first responders in Canada. And so it's an honorable injury between the 2 years that has both physical and psychological impact, of course. Physical meaning the brain, some of the circuitry gets shot to hell. But in this sort of process, I knew there was something wrong because of not sleeping and all of the horrors were coming back on. But didn't realize that this was an injury, and it took some pretty significant events that made me all of a sudden be quite conscious that I needed some real serious help. And the system at the time was not structured. We didn't have Vietnam like you had, where you had so many psychological casualties. And so nobody knew exactly what to do with this. And so we were getting suicides by the barrelful. And so I went public as a general, still serving, that I was injured, that I felt there's a whole bunch of walking wounded amongst us. And because of these ethical and moral and legal dilemmas we face in these complex and ambiguous missions that are given to us, that if we don't do something, we're going to continue to see guys, mostly guys and some girls, yes, killing themselves, destroying their families, beating up their wives and kids, into drugs, booze, and God knows what else. And so by going public, it took nearly 3 years to bring that about. I went to the United States to White River Junction in Vermont, where you have a huge clinic there on PTSD. And the head of it is a Dr. Matthew Friedman, an extraordinary guy. His wife was a nurse in a MASH in Vietnam. And I said, listen, we got nothing. We need your help, and can you help us? And he said, we're going to help you because we don't want you to go through what we went through in Vietnam. And I said, what was that? He said, the Vietnam War by then had been over for 22 years. He said that there are over 58,000 names on that magnificent monument in Washington. But they had on their books at the time, those were only the ones registered, on their books over 102,000 suicides. Directly related to Vietnam. So what you guys are feeling now and what we're feeling with Iraq on suicide and so on is still, it's not the tip of the iceberg, a reality that these wars keep killing. And these injuries, like operational stress injury, can be terminal. And so that's a dimension that we're still fighting very strong here to get people to realize.
We're speaking with former UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire, and we'll continue with this conversation in just a minute on America Tonight.
A Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Speaking with UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire, we're talking about some really important things. So many of you out there that have called us who have served in former wars and know what post-traumatic stress syndrome is like, we're talking about that. And General, one of the things that you talk about, and boy, we talk about a lot on the show, and I know there are lots of other people that try to peel back the cover on this or take those layers down, whatever is the great terminology to put it. But why is it that we see, and maybe I'm answering my own question, but it seems that governments certainly rank economic and political interest way above humanity, because we see that there are many other atrocities happening in the world and not enough people to move the mountains to help those folks. When you see that in other lands, how disturbing is that to you?
You live a constant frustration of knowing that that a conflict went catastrophic, that was preventable, but what was not in fact prevented. Because of self-interest, because it wasn't on somebody's radar screen, because there were no resources, and the only thing that was there were human beings. And as in Rwanda, I was told by one country, you know, we're not coming in to give you any resources because the only thing that's here are human beings, and there are too many anyways, it's overpopulated. So the human being is still, in too many cases, the lowest common denominator. And we become all excited when we see a sort of incident happen, like with the Syrian refugees. I just back from Jordan from my work with child soldiers in the refugee camps. And so you get this child, the picture of the child that drowned, and the media go absolutely, totally committed to it. And then all of a sudden we get the emotional, spontaneous responses from governments to a problem that 4 years ago, if we had intervened properly under responsibility to protect, we could have avoided this thing from happening in the first place. So I think that we are now at a time where we are more culpable of ineptness and lack of statesmanship and sense of humanity than we were in the early 90s when we were stumbling into this whole new realm of imploding nations and failing states and civil wars. And so the reason I hold people more culpable is that we do have tools that we finally have adjusted from our experiences in certain conflicts, plus the introduction of the concept of responsibility to protect that says if a country is massively abusing the human rights of its people, we have a responsibility to go in and protect the people. Not do a regime change, not go away and blow away Gaddafi, but in fact protect these people and prevent them from, in fact, being martyred by the government and find other options for the government to play with. Well, we don't want to operationalize it. We don't want to take casualties. We don't want to get suckered into these problems. And so if the developed countries, and I hold very much the middle powers, the Germanys, the Canadas, the Japans, the ones who've got a lot of capability but are sitting on their hands waiting for you guys, the United States, to get set up, to be hauled into these things, and then be held accountable for if things don't go well enough. Until these people start reacting in a humanitarian fashion that does reflect a responsibility to protect, because in the end, there isn't a conflict in the world that's not going to affect us by home, by pandemics out of the refugee camps, by extremism and terrorism is going to come out of the rage of a lot of these people in these displaced camps and so on, by the not having the availability of the special resources like coltan, you know, the Congo as an example, and by influencing our diasporas back home, who are still locked in and get suckered into different things. And look at the recruitment that's going on even on the radicalization of our youth with ISIS. So we are myopic in our look at what conflict is overseas, because we're still looking at it with lenses of 50 years ago, where in fact anything that goes on overseas is only about 12 hours from a sophisticated bus ride in a plane.
Yeah, to put it that way, boy, it really puts it into perspective. I'd be remiss not to, I know that you're passionate about this. You're a big advocate for ending the use of child soldiers. You just mentioned what we see that's happening with younger people as far as ISIS. But soldiers themselves, turning children into soldiers, and you've started an initiative for that that's very personal. Tell us about it.
What I did is in 2004, I had been medically released from the forces, and I'd been working on war-affected children in the international development side of the house. I got a fellowship at Harvard at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Kennedy School and did a research paper on child soldiers because I wanted to prove that the slaughter of the 800,000 in Rwanda was done mostly by young people who had been suckered in by a political group that had shifted them from being a youth movement into a militia, and a vicious militia. And so since then, Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we're based out of, where we go in prevention of the recruitment of child soldiers. We're not into rehabilitation, reintegration. That's picking up the pieces of those that do survive. Many of them don't. And so what we do is we're into countries, at the invitation of the countries, we go into their school system and with pedagogical tools like local comic books built by ex-child soldiers and so on, and we teach the kids not to get suckered in, and we influence the parents to protect them in a different way than before. And on the second side, which is now the more dynamic one, is we train military and police in how to de-escalate confrontations with child soldiers, and in fact, how to be able to neutralize them as a weapon system on the battlefield and make them a liability for those who want to recruit them. And so we've recently produced, in fact, the standing operating procedures for NATO, where we'll be training commands and so on. The African Union has asked us to do the same for them. We are engaged in countries from Colombia right through, soon we'll be going to Myanmar, helping them prevent the recruitment of children, and in so doing, not only preventing their effectiveness by other means than simply killing them, which is in everybody's doctrine now, they just treat them as another belligerent. We've offered them a whole new doctrinal framework that they can use and tactics to be used. But we also are into the business of influencing the thinking of those countries in regards to wanting to use children as weapons of war.
Wow. Romeo Dallaire, thanks for all you do to make the world a better place. And if anybody wants to help, what would you tell them?
Go to childsoldiers.org.
Childsoldiers.org. Thanks, Romeo. Thank you so much.
All the best to you.
Wow, what a treat to get a chance to speak to this incredible man, Dallaire, and what he witnessed. And if you watch the movie Hotel Rwanda, and it's a movie, but the movie does do an incredible portrayal of what he saw. And he is heavily featured in that. Of course, he's played by the actor Nick Nolte, who, you know, you think about it, he was the acting Canadian colonel sent to oversee the UN forces in Rwanda and then stumbled upon some of the most horrific things one could ever see is what we described. We know the numbers are crazy. He mentioned them. More than 800,000 Rwandans were killed in the genocide. And there was pleading and begging, including the general himself, for more troops and help. And they didn't come. They didn't come until it was much too late. And finally it all ended. But, boy, what happened in between was just unbelievable, unspeakable horrors. So stay with us. Much more coming your way on America Tonight.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.